Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
This is your call to action. Get prepared, America. Economy, survival, energy, disasters. This is USAprepares.com. Informative radio, educational radio. Interact now by emailing instructor at USAprepares.com or text at 434-390-7953. Class, please take your seats. Now, your instructor, Vincent Finelli.
Everyone all set, cocked, locked, hour number two of USA Prepares. Bert Bertonis is with us for this hour. Bert Bertonis is a senior USA Prepares instructor. He's a radio frequency engineer, an electronics designer, an expert witness. He's a patent holder. We're fortunate to have an instructor with his expertise as a senior USA Prepares faculty member. He doesn't just read and talk about it. He designs and builds it. I know for a fact that he has been designing and manufacturing microwave electronics for 40 years. I know this because I sat next to him on the bench in California. I'm not talking about the park bench. I'm talking about the design and technical bench. He is the one. He is the man who taught me how to repair satellite communications equipment. Welcome, Bert.
Hello, Vin. Morning.
You remember those days, Bert?
Yeah, long hours. Yep, absolutely.
And, you know, we would sit on the bench, sometimes just the two of us, and we'd be freezing cold because there'd be no heat in the building that we rented space in. And we were just a bunch of young guys that didn't have any money and were building. And Bert is the guy that designed it. I don't want you to think that I'm the guy that designed any of this. I had input into, you know, the final product, some of the attributes, but I'm not the guy that designed it. Bert is the guy that designed it. And, with his designs, our little three-person company was in the lead of electronics design for the satellite communications industry. Those big 10 and 12-foot dish antennas with the satellite receiver. So what I'm telling you is, Bert, for most, in school, at the university, I remember you were assigned a project to do build a simple amplifier. So instead, and we're talking mid-1970s, instead you decided to build a digital FM receiver, way more complicated, with SAW technology, SAW filters. And you weren't satisfied with just doing a simple, you know, amplifier. You had to go way above and beyond and put a little amplifier in the receiver. So that was really impressive, Bert, and I've been fortunate to spend a lot of time with you, and I've learned a lot from you. So I want to say thank you. And so, class, Bert, I know for a fact that Bert is the real deal because I've known him for 45 years.
Yeah, since, you know, that FM tuner I designed, it was a very opportune time because all these new ICs were coming out at the time, FM demodulator, subcarrier demodulator for the stereo signal, dual gate MOSFETs for the mixer, JFETs for the RF amplifier. A lot of new things just seemed to hit then, and I was just intrigued and wanted to build the best FM tuner you could have. And, you know, again, had nothing to do. I did have that part-time job working for the speech communications lab, so that gave me access to a laboratory with all the assembly and test equipment. But, that was basically, I guess I can say I was a fan of WNEW-FM in New York City, and I was thinking that if I could build the best FM tuner ever, we could pick up WNEW from over the mountains which turned out to be geometry, just, you know, and propagation.
You're talking about picking it up from a couple hundred miles away, which was physically impossible, but that didn't stop you from trying. It didn't stop you from trying. And just one other old backstory might put a smile on your face, class. So Bert built this, and correct me if I'm wrong, Bert, but you built this. There was no such thing as a digital LED display for the frequency on a tuner. You built that, okay, with a bar graph. So you turn the potentiometer for the station selection or the frequency, and it would light up across a bar graph to tell you what frequency you were on. There was no such thing as that before you built that. You built the first one. And then you got an interview with a company, I believe it was Blonder Tongue Laboratories, and they were kind of amused with, you know, this young guy understanding some technology, and I believe they asked you something about, maybe it was the SAW filter, you know, do you know anything about that? And you said, oh yeah, I built a I built equipment using that, and they were just trying to figure this stuff out, and you had accomplished it. Is that true?
Yeah. So you know, by you know, looking for your first job after we graduated, I had gone to that's, you're correct, it was Blonder Tongue Laboratories in New Jersey. So, you know, it's funny, you go to university for 4 years, you study all these subjects, but I learned all this technology kind of on my own just for fun. And it turned out by just total, I mean, what are the odds of this happening? By total chance, they were developing a new over-the-air pay TV system that would broadcast scrambled television signals from the World Trade Center. You know, God bless the old World Trade Center. And they had this home set-top box. And during the interview, everything seemed to go well, so they decided to unfurl the new top-secret schematic on the conference table just to see, you know, would I recognize anything on it. And what are the odds of this? It used all the same chips and technology that I had put in the FM tuner, just, you know, by total coincidence. So I started telling him how everything worked, and they go, wow, he can't be a spy from our competition. He's too young. How does he know all this stuff? Well, anyway, to make a long story short, you know, I got the job and worked there for 2 years before I moved to California in Silicon Valley.
Yeah. So absolutely true. So, you know, one of the common threads that goes through USA Prepares instructors is we're not satisfied. We are not satisfied with, well, it only leaks a little bit. We want it right. We want it excellent the first time if we can do that. And if we can't get it excellent, excellence the first time, we keep working on it until we do get excellence. So some people might say that you know, we're dysfunctional or something like that. That's not true. We just have a real high standard, and I've got it. And Bert, does that? I would bet you that if you still have it and you haven't taken it apart, that receiver still works today. Is that right?
You know, I haven't turned it on. One of the problems with electronics is you got to check your electrolytic capacitors, which leak. But I think one other part of that tuner that I think you didn't mention is we used it in our apartment at the university. For you know, for the rest of the school year, and then I used it for my tuner at home for many years after that. I mean, it was, and yes, I still have it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay, and so what I'm trying to tell you, class, is Bert is at the forefront of technology, especially microwave technology, and so Bert, 5G, 6G. Why don't we start with what's with all these G's? Is it safe? And then let's talk about 6G. Now, I'm absolutely terrified of 6G because of what we discussed off the air, and I hope we have time to talk about 6G. So what's 5G and all the Gs?
Well, let's start with the Gs. So 1G, and of course we didn't call it 1G during 1G, but 1G is the first cellular system, and that came out, you know, roughly speaking in the 1980s. And you remember back then, most cellular was just for your car, and they had these walkie-talkies, you know, the size of a shoebox that you would carry around with you for portable, but it was mostly for cars. 1G used FM technology, very, very you know, very mature, basically the same narrowband FM that you'd use in a police two-way radio or a fire two-way radio. The innovation was really on the switching side, you know, in order to connect a cellular network. The actual handset and base station technology, just narrowband FM. So very similar to the FM broadcasts that we still use today, frequency modulation, nothing real special, frequencies, you know, around 900 megahertz, 800 megahertz. So that's, you know, just below the micro, you know, basically upper UHF range. And it was analog, you know, analog modulation. And then 2G came along, let's say in the 1990s, roughly. And what 2G did is digitize the signal. So up to that point, it was FM. You could pick it up on a scanner. You could intercept the signals very easy. When it got digitized, that was harder to do. The main thing for digital was it was able to compress the signal. Just making it digital doesn't necessarily do that much, but you could then compress the signal using advanced algorithms, and that allowed us to put more signals in the same bandwidth, basically, by going digital. And we used the same frequency bands, but we would multiplex multiple, in other words, put 3 or 6 or 8 channels where one channel resided before. We could do that. So that, you know, increased the capacity. Everybody made more money. That was 2G. Any questions?
Well, I just have a comment, kind of a backstory. You remember Victor Pomper and H.H. Scott? And he said, you know, he told the three of us, hey, guys, look, this was like 1980. It was 1980. Cellular telephone. That's the next big thing. So he was I think he was a vice president of H.H. Scott, the stereo receiver and electronics giant. I mean, top of the line. And he befriended us. And I'm not sure exactly why he liked us. We were just a bunch of young guys. And he was an older guy at the time. And he said, and he was telling us, cellular phone, that's where it's at. And he was absolutely right. Absolutely right.
So okay. That was 1980. Well, so what 3G then did is, and it gets a little more complex and a little harder to conceptualize, but we went to something called spread spectrum in 3G. And so what you literally do is put one signal on top of another. And you're literally broadcasting in the same frequency band, everybody on top of each other, but your digital signal is coded such that you can pull that code out for the voice channel that you're using from everybody else. So it's a little bit harder to comprehend, but also it allows you to increase the capacity of the system, and it works very efficiently. And so 3G came along in the 2000s, roughly. And that basically added spread spectrum in particular. It's called CDMA, code division multiple access. And your modulation would be, you know, a digital modulation, but with the CDMA on top of it. And that allowed us again to increase capacity. And we also moved to some new frequency bands at that point. So that was 3G. Then 4G came along, let's say roughly in the 10s, you know, 2010 to present. And what 4G did is use a completely different modulation called OFDM, orthogonal frequency division multiplex. And that really gets a little more complicated in that it breaks the signal.
Hold that thought. We're going into our first break. We'll be right back. We're talking about the G's.
I'm here with Scott Youseum, founder of OMG Tax. Tell us how your company helps our listeners out there who have a problem with the IRS.
My team of lawyers, enrolled agents, and licensed tax experts remove wage garnishments sometimes in the same day. We even have reduced the total debt some of our clients were required to pay through what is known as an offer in compromise.
Can you give us an example of somebody you help?
Oh, can I ever? We have taken a $500,000 liability with the IRS. Guess what? The client didn't pay a dime through the representation known as non-collectible status with the government.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000 and you want to see if it's possible to pay a lot less, call OMG Tax right now for a free tax-saving consultation.
Call 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. That's 800-486-8112.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Pencils, paper, notebooks, iPads. Class is now in session. USAPrepares.com. Educational radio. Set your memory to high power. Your USAPrepares.com instructor, Vincent Finelli, at the controls.
Kurt Pertonis is with a senior USA Prepares instructor, a radio frequency engineer, and he just used a term that you probably haven't heard very often, if at all, orthogonal frequency division multiplexing. You might have heard of time division multiplexing, but orthogonal frequency division multiplexing, 4G, that's what we're talking about. Bert, please continue.
Yeah, so when we talked about the difference in the first few Gs, it was pretty simple, just first G, just analog FM modulation, second G, we went digital, 3G, we went to spread spectrum, or CDMA. So 4G, we go to OFDM, which basically divides your signal up into very tiny little bands and spreads those, each individual little bands of data all across the overall frequency band, and then reassembles it at the other end. So what does that do? It has some benefits in propagation. It allows you to handle signal fading and reflections and a lot of things to make it more robust. So that was basically 4G, which is pretty much what the networks are using now. But starting now in the 20s, we have 5G. And so 5G doesn't really change anything on the modulation. We're still going to use OFDM like we did in 4G. What 5G does is increase our capacity by going higher in frequency, going beyond microwave into what's called millimeter wave. Because basically, if you want to increase your data rate, you only have a couple ways to do it. You can increase the frequency that you're operating on because radio waves bandwidth are logarithmic. In other words, if you operate on a higher frequency, there's more actual megahertz in a little sliver of frequency, and more megahertz More bandwidth means you can pack more data in it. The other thing you can do is make your cellular, your cell sites smaller, a more dense network with cellular towers instead of every mile, every 100 feet, let's say. And that will also increase your data rate by increasing the capacity and the distance that you communicate, very small cells. So 5G does that. 5G, basically, it creates very small cells and also moves into much higher frequencies. Now, those frequencies can't really work that well to your cell phone. They don't go through walls. They don't propagate very well indoors. But we can use them for connecting the cell sites together. So we connect these little micro cells with either fiber optics, which works great if you have it, or millimeter wave signals. And that's where a lot of people are now looking at, are these millimeter waves safe for us? And there's been all kinds of safety studies. I know you've had people on the air, Vince, talking about health of 5G. So, I mean, my perspective, I'm obviously not a doctor, is from the engineering standpoint, is 5G safe compared to other Gs? And, you know, that's the question a lot of people are asking. It's been in the news lately.
And, okay, so as we went from 1G, 2G, 3G, 4G, 5G, what about the power levels, the RF output levels, the transmitter power of these cell phones? Has that changed? Has it increased, decreased? How has that changed?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. Power level hasn't changed because it is regulated. So, you know, let me cut to the chase. The question on safety, it really hasn't been answered because there's lots of studies, and exposure to any type of radiation is not good, and the more you get exposed to it, the worse it is. So the power levels haven't changed. You're regulated in what you can do in your iPhone that you hold up to your head. That's limited generally to a maximum of about 600 milliwatts, and they've made the antennas go on the backside of the phone, so when you hold it up to your head, it doesn't radiate into your brain. That's helpful, but I always tell people better to use Bluetooth because that's about 1 milliwatt. And much safer. But the power levels haven't changed. So really what's changed, though, is the aggregate power. Because imagine if you have cell sites every couple of hundred feet instead of every mile, then there's going to be more total power in the air. And that's really the issue, is that we have more RF energy everywhere. Not that any one transmitter is any higher.
All right, hold that thought. Very valid point. Burke's with us. He'll be right back.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-900-8407. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-900-8407. That's 1-800-900-8407. 1-800-900-8407.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Lawmakers are quizzing health experts on Capitol Hill about the latest on the coronavirus pandemic, and one of those experts has some encouraging news. Dr. Anthony Fauci says work on vaccines is progressing well, and that one already looks very promising. In fact, Fauci tells the House panel,
"We hope that as the time we get into the late fall and early winter, we will have, in fact, a vaccine that we can say would be safe and effective.
Democrats on that panel say the Trump administration has not been doing enough to help states that still need more testing to get it. A training exercise that went wrong off the coast of Southern California last night has left one Marine dead and eight others missing. Two others are hospitalized. Marine officials say there was a mishap involving an amphibious assault vehicle near San Clemente Island. This is USA Radio News.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-900-8407. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-900-8407. That's 1-800-900-8407. 1-800-900-8407.
With findings of some new research concerning how people can have long-term COVID-19 symptoms, here's USA Radio's John Hunt.
New studies are showing that COVID-19 symptoms can linger for weeks and months after a diagnosis, may be wide-ranging, and include everything from joint pain and fevers to hair loss and double vision. In fact, those patients, self-nicknamed the long haulers, reported experiencing 98 different symptoms in a survey that was just released. According to Natalie Lambert, an associate professor of medicine at Indiana University School of Medicine, said they're not quite sick enough to be hospitalized, but they are suffering from very severe symptoms for longer times while staying at home. Lambert partnered with a COVID-19 support group called Survivor Corps to survey patients on the group's Facebook page about their symptoms.
The Mexican consulate in El Paso, Texas, plans to honor the victims of the Walmart mass shooting on Monday, the first anniversary of the attack. The consulate will formally unveil a plaque bearing the names of the 23 people killed, including seven Mexican nationals. A new survey says the best beach in America is in Sarasota County, Florida. Siesta Beach in Siesta Key ranked number one on TripAdvisor's annual Traveler's Choice Awards. The site also lists Siesta Beach as the 11th best beach in the entire world. Find us online at usaradio.com for USA Radio News. I'm Chris Barnes.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
It's gonna be sliding.
When are today's hot?
Last day.
God,
you're
take my.
When you go
to the season,
for
2 seconds.
Class is back in session. Turn up the volume. USAPrepares.com with the original survival economist, Vincent Fennelli.
Class senior instructor Bert Bertonis is with us. He's in California. And he mentioned aggregate RF power, radio frequency power. So my understanding is that's the sum of the transmitted signals from all the cell phones combined with all the transmitted power of all the cell phone antennas, if we're talking about cellular RF. Is that correct, Bert?
Yeah.
It's the sum of it all.
Sure. No, that's correct. And so maybe we can back up a little and there's a lot of press. Does 5G cause coronavirus? You've probably seen it. I know you've talked about it with some of your medical experts. So obviously a radio signal cannot cause a virus. The virus is caught by droplets in the air. The virus came from China. You know, you've probably heard the recent news of the brave doctor who defected to the United States and told the story of how it escaped from the lab in Wuhan. So the virus is horrible. It's caused by moisture droplets in the air, and obviously 5G cannot cause you to get the virus.
Okay. But what it can do, and there are medical doctors who have said this, including Dr. Shealy, senior USA Preparedness instructor, that it weakens the 5G and 4G and radio frequencies, weaken the immune system, which makes you more susceptible to succumbing to the virus rather than shaking off the virus.
There is some evidence that, sure, so there is evidence, and there are studies showing that continued exposure to radiation at any frequency is dangerous. The question is, what's unique in 5G? And what it is it's two things. It's going to these higher frequencies, and it's the intensity of the overall signal, because we're going to have transmitters everywhere, basically, with 5G. So let me tackle the first one. Is the frequency more dangerous? And actually, most studies show the most dangerous frequencies for the human body are really in the 100 megahertz range. That seems to be what your body responds to the most, not in the, say, 20 gigahertz range. We have a lot to learn, and there's more studies need to be done, obviously, but it doesn't seem to be that the frequency itself. I know there's studies showing, absorption into different types of human cells, but it has to get through your clothing and through your skin, and that's what a lot of those studies ignore. So myself, I don't believe the frequency itself is harmful. What I think can be potentially harmful is the intensity of the signal that everyone is going to be exposed to.
Kind of like if you walk in front of a garden hose, you probably won't be bothered by it. But if you walk in front of a fire hose, you might be bothered by it. So it's the intensity.
It's sort of that, you know, maybe most people won't be affected, but everybody's different. You know, it's the same thing with X-rays. You know, how many X-rays are safe? Well, you know, we're not really sure. And most people can probably get as many as they want and may not affect their lifespan. But some people, just maybe there's other issues at play. So there's two or three things going on, and you get that exposure to radiation, and it triggers something in our body that creates cancer or other illnesses. So we have a lot to learn, but I don't think anyone's saying exposure to more electromagnetic field is good for you.
Very good point. Bert, I during the break, I looked up a location near you in California, in Silicon Valley. You live in a small town, little hamlet, a lot of people, though. I used to live in the same town, and I picked a hotel there, and I just typed in the address of that hotel at antennasearch.com. And there are 90 antennas in a 2-mile radius of that hotel in your hometown in California. So that is increasing, and I believe what you've said is that there's going to be more, and they're going to be everywhere, and ultimately about 100 feet apart. Is that right?
Yeah, you're going to have it as you enter any office, any building. There's going to be cell towers, you know, at the entrance to the building. And inside the facilities, you're going to have microcells. So that's the direction that the technology is taking us, and it's simply based on the physics of, if you want higher bandwidth, higher data rates, then you have to do certain things. You move up in frequency and make the cells smaller. So, again, you mentioned power. They're not necessarily operating at any higher power individually, but look at the fact that you're now closer to them and there's more of them.
Mm-hmm. Are we ready to talk about 6G? That's terrifying to me.
Well, you know what? I think it's fascinating because
yeah,
we talked about 6G. What 6G does is again, to increase bandwidth, they're now looking, and of course, we're just designing it, having conferences discussing it. We're looking at taking frequency bands even higher than millimeter wave into that region that literally is in between light and radio wave, where we haven't done a lot of work there because it's so difficult to build equipment and the technology. It's beyond semiconductors. It's an area that, frankly, you know, human scientists and engineers haven't really done a lot of work on before. It's almost a mysterious area. We're talking around 1 terahertz, you know, frequencies that are longer than infrared light, but shorter than millimeter wave and microwave. But that's how we're going to get more bandwidth and more data, and potentially using those frequencies. Again, not really to the phone that you're going to have in your pocket, but to connect these microcells together.
So and then the question is,
you know, we don't know if it's...
Okay, we've got, Bert, we have a delay here, so... it's about at least a half a second plus probably another half a second. So we're about a 1 second delay between you and me. My understanding, Bert, is that we, although we're talking about this, although we're investigating it, although it's fascinating, frankly, we do not have semiconductors that can switch fast enough to do this. Is that right?
Well, yeah. I mean, it won't be semiconductor. It'll be something, it'll be something we're going to be yet to invent. It's probably going to share more commonality with light technology than it will to integrated circuit technology. But it's fascinating, and it's sort of like, you know, the final frontier in terms of electronics and photonics.
Are you, although you're talking about this, do you have any concerns about if this were deployed, and we're talking about light combined with radio frequency or in between those two spectrums, that if those transmitters / receivers and communications devices like handheld cell phones, we'd be walking into a stream of something that is absolutely unknown? Is that a concern?
Well, maybe, but, on the other hand, we've grown up over thousands and tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of years under a massive emitter of infrared radiation and radio wave and millimeter wave. You know what that is, right?
Yeah, vitamin D.
Well,
the sun.
The sun. So, in fact, in small doses, I know I enjoy walking on the beach and getting my dose of suntan. It, you know, I honestly think it's good for you in small doses, and it's been proven. That vitamin D.
Well, yeah, I know you're such a fan of it that in our conference room back in 1980, you brought in these new fluorescent tubes, and you said, we're going to put these in the conference room because we're all going to feel better, and our customers are going to feel better. We're going to use full-spectrum lighting. So you were an early adopter of the power, the positive power, the benefits of full-spectrum lighting, the kind of lighting that the sun provides.
Yeah, you know, that's more than the benefit of it. It's really getting rid of what is really very bad, because normal light bulbs put out a very orange spectrum, you know, both your traditional tungsten bulb and also the cheaper, older fluorescent bulb. They're not full spectrum. So it wasn't so much the benefit of full spectrum. It was getting rid of something that actually was proven to be dangerous, which is the, let's call it non-full spectrum bulb. But, yeah, every office I've worked in since then, I've made sure we had full spectrum lighting in the building.
Just as an aside, have you found that when you made sure that your work location had full spectrum lighting, did you find that other people didn't know about it until you brought that up?
Pretty much, yeah. Although I think that people are more aware now, and I can usually tell when I go in a building if it's full spectrum. spectrum or not, but people are way more aware. I mean, you go into Home Depot now, and, you know, they'll have two fluorescent bulbs on the shelf, a non-full spectrum for a dollar and a full spectrum, you know, let's say 5,000 or 6,000 degree bulb for maybe $2, which is well worth it to spend the extra dollar for that bulb.
So when we had our company in California class 40 years ago, we were aware of this particular lighting technology. And I'm not saying that I'm the guy that figured this out. Bert's the guy that figured this out. So, but we adopted it, and we've been using it in our personal lives for 40 years. Bert, the thing is, 5G is going to be deployed whether we like it or not. Is that right?
Already being deployed,
in greater numbers.
Yeah, I think that train's left the station.
Okay.
There's not much that you or I can do about it except make people more aware. And I think what really needs to be done is more health studies, more hospitals and researchers doing testing to find out more about, you know, what is the safe level of radiation. And that we can, you know, live safely by.
All right. Do you have time to... Okay, so 6G is not here yet, and it's going to be a while before. Do you have an idea of the initial installation of 6G? Do you know when that might be? Are we 5 years away?
You know, it 10? Seems to be these 10-year segments. So if that holds, let's say 2030.
Okay. When we come back, Bert, can you share with us something that is frightening to me? Absolutely, for sure. I believe, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, but I believe it's frightening to you too, and that's wireless charging. That means charging your cell phones without a power cord, wirelessly. Is that something we can talk about? Okay. Hang on to your hats, class. This will probably scare you.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around a dollar a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-900-8407. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-900-8407. That's 1-800-900-8407. 1-800-900-8407.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners, lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. Needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers. But if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need. Just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email. advertise@gcnlive.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
No whining. Only expert guests and seasoned opinions. Instruction that matters. At the controls, Vincent Finelli.
I've been talking with Senior USA Prepares Instructor Bert Bertonis, and he is my teacher. And he's been my teacher for 45 years. I kid you not. He teaches me things every time we talk on the phone. We're going to be talking about wireless charging. I am terrified of it. And here's a way of thinking of this. We've talked about aggregate power. More devices, all transmitting, means more power in the air, more radiated power in the air. Now, we'll talk about adding to that wireless charging. Bert, please share with us. What is it?
Well, first of all, let's hope that this doesn't go anywhere, because it should be terrifying and it is dangerous. So there's actually companies that, a few of them even public, that are saying, oh, you can charge your cell phone without ever plugging it in. We'll just have a radio frequency signal permeating the room that will be received by your phone and charge the battery. So the reason it just doesn't make sense is that you have to understand how radio waves propagate. And once they leave a transmitter, they fall in energy extremely fast. Let me give you an example. If I'm working on the bench and I have a transmitter at one end of the bench and a receiver at the other, and I'm, you know, measuring signals, measuring antenna propagation, let's say I start with 1 watt at one end of the bench. At the other end of the bench where, you know, I'm only going a few feet, that signal, you know how low that signal falls in strength by? Take a guess, then.
Oh, I'd say maybe a thousandth. Maybe a thousandth at the other end.
Exactly. In other words, people think, oh, it falls by half or even a tenth. No, it falls by, you know, approximately one tenth thousandth, just a few feet away. So think about it, then. If you want to try and charge a cell phone battery with watts, you know, watt hours of power, what you would have to transmit to fill that room up with energy. I mean, it would literally have to be gigawatts to make it effective. And nobody's going to allow that, thank God. But there's companies that have been saying, oh, let's get exemptions in the radio frequency regulations. Let's set aside certain frequencies. Let's make exceptions. Let's try and detect if anyone's moving in the room, and we'll only do it when no one's around. Well, none of that really works. And it's a silly idea, but it sounds so good to someone that doesn't understand how radio waves propagate that, you know, these companies are still really trying to change the rules and regulations to allow such a thing to happen. And that truly would be dangerous, because it would literally, and I'm not just saying this for sensationalism. It would be like, you know, living and working inside a microwave oven while it was on. I mean, that's the level of intensity that you would need to overcome the losses of a radio wave in order to pick up enough energy to charge a battery. So
let's just have a simple example. Let's say, Bert, you have an electric car, okay, and you want to charge your electric car wirelessly. So you have the antenna in front of the house, then you have your house, and then you have the electric car behind your house. You know, all close in proximity. I believe what we're saying is, if you tried to pull something like that off, charge your electric car wirelessly, you'd set the house on fire.
Oh, absolutely. Now, let me say, we're talking about far field. There is something called near field, and that's totally safe, very efficient. So when you go into Starbucks and you put your phone on the map, that's near field uplink. It's very efficient, let's say at least 50% efficient, and totally safe, because that energy is really confined to literally just, you know, within, you know, a millimeter of where that charging pad is. So no, you know, completely different technology than permeating a room with a radio wave.
Isn't that what the electric toothbrushes use, like the Philips electric toothbrushes? You put them in the stand. There's no actual contact between the toothbrush and you know, no metallic contact where, like a wire or a connector, it's charged wirelessly. Is that what you're talking about? The near? Yes.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. And that's okay. Totally safe. And by the way, your analogy of the electric car, they are working on paths that you'll be able to drive into your garage, and there'll be a pad on the floor of the garage that'll couple to your car. And again, that would be near field coupling, efficient, safe. I mean, I wouldn't suggest getting down there while the car is being charged, but because the level of magnitude of charging a car is going to be so high compared to your toothbrush example, Vince. But again, different technology, totally safe. Don't confuse that with RF charging, which would not be safe in any way.
One quick comment. Bert, I remember reading an article in a national publication that Disney had decided to pursue and then decided not to pursue wireless charging. Is that true?
They had a different technology where they were going to have it permeating the room and it would charge devices. And I think anything like that that permeates the room is probably a bad idea at this point to use in any way.
Your example of working inside a microwave oven, that's a great example. Bert Pertonis, thanks so much for being with us. And if you can, clear some time on your calendar, and we'll have to do this again and again. Bert Pertonis, thank you so much.
Thanks, Ben.
Hey, y'all. Jeff Foxworthy here. Now, if you've ever found yourself repeating the same thing over and over for 75 years, you might be Smokey Bear.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
That's why I'm filling in for Smokey to switch things up, because there's a lot more to say. And I should know, because my grandfather was a firefighter. And one of the things he taught me is that the people that love the outdoors the most are often the ones accidentally starting wildfires, which means always BYOB. No, bring your own bucket to the campfire. And be extra careful with things like burning yard trimmings. Don't just walk away, or chances are you might be starting a wildfire. So for the love of the outdoors, go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.